Said you took your children to Israel, or you did?
Oh, yes.
Okay, when did you take them to Israel?
They were 14. I took them twice, although we went ourselves four times. We'd been to Israel, but we took them twice. We took them in the summer. There was a JCC had a family trip, and we coordinated it with a group that we had going, a natural group, and my friends Richard and Rhoda Neft and their two boys, with whom my son was very close, went with us on that trip. David West went. We took a lot of people that were together, and we went for that particular time. That was school vacation, so I'd say it was about 17 days, I think, the first time. And the next time we went was in the summer, when they were able to get free. But we took them to Europe many times. Many times.
So besides Israel, they went to other places in Europe.
Yes, we just wanted to expose them to everything that we had been exposed to all the years. You see, we had 14 years that we could travel when there were no children, and that's a very large block of time. In addition to which, both of us being school teachers, we could get free for that block of time. Victor at first, because he was teaching, so he was free in the summer. But secondly, when he went with Pitt, when he went with Rhoda Sholem Temple, he had a natural vacation. And so we just took it together. And that's how we happened to travel those 14 years all through South America, first through the United States. We did that first, covered it from top to bottom. There wasn't any state we weren't in. Just to learn, to be part of what our country was like first. Then we went to everywhere else. And many's the place that we went that we didn't take the kids because, you know, they were on vacation or they weren't on vacation. They were in college or they were in high school or they were doing something. But if it was the summer, we either spent it in Beach Haven or we took them with us. Sometimes we took the Easter break, which we used to get from their school system. They both were in private school, and so it gave them a chance. And you might ask me why not, if as a public school teacher, why didn't I have them in public school? The difficulty was that they were twins, and she was very dominant over him, and the brighter of the two students. And so we couldn't keep them in the public school. We had to separate them. We couldn't send them to two different public schools because Davis School was no more and it only went to third grade, and there would not have been a way we could get them into two schools. Whiteman School was KO'd. They made it into other schools, so they would have both had to go to Linden. And the easier way out was to get them into private schools.
Did they go to?
Marty, my daughter, went to Winchester Thurston and stayed there all the way through because we thought again that when she was able to get into Shadyside, which would have been the ninth grade, that would be too much competition for her brother, and I wouldn't do that to the two of them. And he went to Shadyside Academy. So they were separate, and she was very happy not to really go to Shadyside. She thought that ride out by bus was a chore, and John didn't have a car until they shared it together. My mother bought it for them when they were 16 and could drive, and he got to take it because he went the furthest distance. Well, had she known, I guess maybe. No, I don't even think she would. Marty was basically, she wanted home by 3:30 and start her homework and talk on the phone. And she could not have existed with all that sports activity that they had to do it at Shadyside. She thought that was just awful to spend all those hours out of there at the school. Now, she was on the field hockey team for Winchester, but she, I wouldn't say she was an athlete at all in those days.
Now, you mentioned something about going on vacation with your husband,
mm-hmm.
and they were, when your children were in high school.
Well, not really when they were in high school, when they were in college. When they were in college. In high school, we went anywhere that we went together.
Oh, so you went, all four of you went together, I see.
Right. But when they were in college, and they had different breaks and different times when they were, we still managed, I took them skiing. Victor didn't go with me, but they loved skiing, and I loved watching them. I don't ski, but I watched them. And so that was a fun time being with them. Then when they got to be sophomores in college, they could really go off on their own. Then they took trips by themselves to skiing places, and I didn't go along any longer.
Now, you mentioned that your affiliation with the synagogue is with Rod of Shalom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us which other institutions, Jewish institutions, you're involved with now?
UJF is prime, and that's one of the branches of which it leads me to everything else. I served on the board. My husband was the president of American Jewish Committee. I served on the board as a vice president of Jewish Family and Children's Service. My husband was president of that. I served on the board and was a vice president of Brandeis Women. We no longer have a chapter here. We did, but we no longer have it here. Let me think what other organizations to tell you about. I was the president of Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women. I serve on its board to this day as a past president, but I'm active with NCJW. I served on the board and was an active participant since the age of 16 for the JCC, which was the YM and WHA. Hadassah served on Hadassah's board for the years that I was the president of National Council of Jewish Women, served on the board of Nahamat, and you can only do so much. I mean, you can only go to so many things. I was on the board of Jewish National Fund, but you rotate off, and I did rotate off of that. I serve on my sisterhood board and have a very large job as the Remembrance Fund chairman, so I send all the cards for the entire. I only do things with those organizations that I can do when I'm working, both when I was teaching. I was a vice president of my sisterhood, but I went back to teach, and I could not go on, and you can't do that and teach at the same time.
Are there any organizations that you're involved with that don't take your time? What I mean is...
That I'm just a member of?
Yes.
Sure. Nahamat. I don't do anything now with Nahamat because it's just too much. You just can't. Those meetings meet in the daytime. The only reason that I can stay really active with NCJW is that they were kind enough because of their far-thinking thoughts and because they have so many members who work during the day is that they have a board meeting at night. Now, I missed this board meeting that was. Were you there at the board meeting?
Member of the board.
Oh, okay. Well,
the other morning,
yeah, it was just Monday morning
when it was going on.
Well, I can't be at that meeting, but the next one in October will be at night. Also, the next meeting is at night. Our opening meeting is always night. And we do that for a purpose, because you get a big crowd that way.
Are you involved in any organizations that are not Jewish?
I was very active. I was a very active member of NAACP. I served as the chairman of their education committee, and that for a very long time, until the year that Tim Stevens became the president of NAACP and threw all the white people off of the board. And none of us ever went back.
Now, are you in any way...
United Way. I was active with United Way.
Are you in any way involved with politics?
Yes, I'm involved with politics only because my very dearest friend is Cyril Weck. And my husband was his treasurer for years for all of his political campaigns. I now actively support him and do what I can do if he has postcards to be written, either he or his son David. I was active in both of their campaigns, and I was very active with Danny Cohn when he ran both for council and, for city councilman and for the unfortunate race that he ran against Bill Coyne. Tried to tell him, my husband tried to tell him, as did a lot of other people, go to Mount Lebanon, run in that district that Santorum had, and you'll win. But he wouldn't listen. So, that's where he is now, and he's now taking a job, thank heavens, so he can support his family with a law firm. But that's my extent of politics. I don't really like politics. I think it's a very dirty game, and I see all the machinations of what goes on. But I think that Cyril Wecht is a fantastic man, equally as fantastic as I thought my husband was. And I don't know anyone who spoke better than Victor except for Dr. Freehoff. And that's saying a lot. You probably never heard Victor speak, but he was a dynamo. Wonderful speaker, spoke without notes, just like Dr. Freehoff did. But Cyril can talk about a great many things, too, just as Victor did. Victor was his mentor. And so because he was so closely aligned with him, I went along with Cyril running for these, but we used to say to him all the time, what do you need this for? Why do you conceivably need it? But he does need it. He needs it for his ego, obviously, but he's a good man and a far better man than Roddy is, I can tell you that. And so from my way of thinking, I would do anything to support him. And I hope he continues to keep up in the polls. He's doing nicely. I don't know what'll happen when Roddy starts deluging the TV and the radio and so forth. He's got a lot of money behind him. Mm-hmm. A lot of money. And you never know. If he keeps getting the support. Now, yesterday, I think the blacks endorsed him. And that's a very good thing, too, because there are a lot of blacks in this town. But they all are Democrats, too.
Is there anything in your life that you wish you could have changed?
No. In all honesty, no. I had a wonderful, wonderful life. And I hope it continues. But, nothing would I really want to do differently. I always wished I had more money so that I could give more money to charity. It would be wonderful to be able to give. But you're born with what you're born with. You make of your life what you make of it. And I feel, my husband had this wonderful, wonderful philosophy. He said, the angel of death is going to visit each of us, and there's nothing you can do to escape it. He'll come to get us. Strange that he said he'll come, isn't it? Since he was very pro-feminist. He truly believed that you don't say he'll, but he did. But when the angel of death comes to get me, I will go happily, because I am a happy man. I have done more and accomplished more and seen more than I ever dreamed possible. And I dittoed what he said, except that I said, I don't want to go. I want to live forever. And we joked about it, but that's the one thing that I can tell you Victor said that made sense. He was a happy man, and I just feel the same way. I'm a very grateful, happy individual. I believe that I accomplished more and did more and saw more than I ever dreamed possible as I was growing up on McKee Place. I never thought all of this would happen. And I have the feeling that most of us, if we really think back, would say, we're happy. I mean, I'm grateful. I'm not just happy, I'm gratefully happy that I was able to live in this wonderful country and brought, I feel, two children into this world who are good and kind, and you could hear that son of mine. He is the sweetest, dearest child you'd ever want to have. Never ends a conversation that he doesn't say, love you, Mom. It's just an amazing thing. He I'm much closer to than my daughter, which is the opposite way in most families, only because she, I think, felt competition from me. You know, I accomplished so much and was so active and did so many things and have so many friends, and that's not the way it is nowadays. These kids, they're just for their children. I don't know if you're that way, Angela. How old are your children?
10 and 13.
Well, my daughter's generation, they go everywhere with their kids. They don't ever leave them home with a babysitter. Or very seldom, I don't say ever, never. But Connecticut, New York, it's a totally different world. I think what they pay for a babysitter is obscene. And I wouldn't, not for the world, be able to do that. I mean, when we were growing up. But we had a distinct thing. We stayed home, and we were with our children from the moment they got up until they went to school and when they came home from school. So when it was evening and you had to go to a meeting, your husband stayed home and let you go to the meeting, or you stayed home and my husband went to a meeting, and his job of necessity maintained that he had to. So we always had, because we had been married 14 years, we had a live-in nanny, so to speak, a housekeeper. And when that was passé, then, and I didn't need them for the full day, the daytime, I would have students from the Art Institute, and they lived on my third floor, where we had a wonderful room and a bathroom, and they got room and board, and they stayed with my children, helped me bathe them, or helped me get them ready for bed. And so for us, that was wonderful. Well, you could go out then. You could go weekends. And you went to the movies with your friends and your husband, or you went to dinner. That's what Pittsburghers did.
Gone.
That's gone. Oh, yes, gone. But, you know, I'm not sure, Angela, that it isn't... I'm not sure which is the better way. Those 12 years that I was home with my children, I still was productive in organizations. There wasn't an organization that I wasn't a part of. I forgot Ladies Hospital Aid. I served on its board and was a vice president of Ladies Hospital Aid for many, many years. Well, you had a million avenues that we were doing, we did. And so you didn't get frustrated with only having your children when they were at school. You were working. You know, you were working with organizations. But I didn't have a full-time job until they were old enough that I felt I could go back. Victor and I discussed it. He said, that would be fine. You're tired of organizations. So I had done everything in all of the organizations. I didn't think that there was a need anymore for me, and I wanted to be more productive. I could do a lot more. I could take my kids on vacations that Victor couldn't have afforded to just go. So then that was something more that I could contribute to the family. And I love teaching. I never wanted to leave teaching. So to me, that was a wonderful way. And your way now, where many of the women, my daughter too, worked just 2 years ago, she gave that up because she had a nanny. The nanny came from Brooklyn, and that was, when I tell you, they paid $100 a day to that nanny. Now, she did have long hours because they left to go into Manhattan, an hour and a half each way, going and coming. Now, Marty says when they're both in school, she would go back, but she would never go back into Manhattan. She would find something in Connecticut, in either Westport or somewhere in Connecticut, that was closer for her to get home while they're in school. But finally, we saw that we did not force the issue, because you can't do that with you kids. I mean, it's just not a way that you treat you. But she never went anywhere that she didn't take those two children, because she was gone all week long, 5 days. Then she cut back a year before she retired from her work at all. They did half and half. She had 2.5 days, and the woman that was her partner had 2.5 days, and so she cut back that way. She still was really working to pay for the nanny. Then after a while, she realized, isn't this foolish? What are we giving up? Maybe one big vacation a year. And I wouldn't really say they've given up anything, because all they did was travel this summer. But it is a phenomenon the way young parents do now. You don't do what we did in our day. You take your kids everywhere with you, and you don't get babysitters. It's different, totally different. Are you working, Angela?
No, I stopped working a year ago, May.
To stay home with the kids. Mm-hmm. And would you go back?
If I could find it. If I push came to shove, I would have to go back full time.
But don't you think they're old enough at this point, 13 and 10?
Well, we'll get back to me, but let's...
No, I was just...
Use up our tape. I'll fill you in later.
Now, you mentioned Victor. What is his background?
Victor came from New York. He went to...
His parents.
Oh, his mother and father. His father was a dentist. It's a biblical name. It comes from the Bible.
Right.
His father was a dentist, and his mother was a housewife. And they lived in Laurelton, Long Island, until... My father suffered a heart attack, and they moved to Forest Hills and lived in an apartment in Forest Hills for the remainder of his life. And then when my mother-in-law used to come here to be with us for the Seder, and she would stay about 10 days. And one of the times that she came, my mother was living with me. I had my mother living with me for 20 years. One of those times that my mother-in-law came, one of the Seders, for the Seder, that period of time of Passover, we took her around to see some different places, because one of my friends, Tamara Skirbel's mother-in-law, was at the Jewish Home for the Aged, and one year she was at Whiteman Manor. And so we went to see Tamara's mother-in-law, and she thought, isn't this wonderful? She was talking that way. And when we took my mother-in-law to the airport, since Victor didn't drive, I always drove, and said goodbye to her, and we came back, and my mother, Victor, and I were sitting in the kitchen talking. And as always, Victor said, well, I think my mother had a good time. Don't you think she did? 10 days is a long time, but it didn't bother me. My mother-in-law stayed with me. And my mother said, yes, I think she had a wonderful time. And I said, I think she had a fabulous time, but I think she'd love it if we asked her to come to Pittsburgh. And my husband said, do you really? And I said, absolutely. He said, do you know what that means? And I said, yes, I do know what it means. It means that your mother-in-law will be in my care for the remainder of her life. But that, to me, would be the thing that would satisfy her the most. She had two other sons. Both of them lived fairly near in Laurelton. He had lived two houses away from her. And then she got to see those grandchildren all the time. The other son, her other son, lived in Dix Hills, which is a distance away and not easy for him to come in all the time. He ran the Arby stores that the two other brothers were silent partners in. And that was for quite a long time that he did that. It was very difficult for him to come in all the time, and his nature isn't the kind who will go, he would come in all the time. His wife, my sister-in-law, is a painter, and she's painted what you see. She did that, my sister-in-law. Yeah, because you could see the name Cavalier somewhere up in the bubble there. It is her name. But she did what's behind you. That's her self-portrait, actually. And Linda is a beautiful woman. She did this of the twins when they were first born, when we first knew we were getting them, and she did that for them. She's quite an artist. I have a lot of her things in my apartment. I love her painting. But she was busy trying to make her way in the art world. She's a sculptress now. She doesn't do painting at all anymore. And so she was busy. And she had one child. My niece Debbie is now 29. So she never got to see either of her other two sons. And she was desperately lonely in Forest Hills. It was difficult to make friends. You know what New York is like, I don't have to tell you. And she would only have a good time when Victor and I would come into Manhattan, and we would have her come out, and she couldn't stay overnight. So mostly she went to shows with us in the afternoon or to the ballet, and then she would get on the subway and go back to Forest Hills. But she was frightened all the time, even though it was a beautiful neighborhood. It was still lonely, and not a soul would come knock on the door. And I said, she'll love it. Here you are, the executive director of Rhoda Shalom Temple, and I'm active in all these millions of organizations. She'll find what to do here. And that's exactly what happened. When she called, she always called to signal that she came in all right. You know, we used to do that. You never called and spoke. You'd call and you'd ask for someone else. So she always used to ask for someone else. This time, when she called, and then usually the operator would say, well, he's not home now. And she would say, okay, operator, I'll call back again. This time, Victor got on the phone, and he said to her, he accepted the call. And she got flustered, not knowing why he was, because, you know, you have to save money. Old Jewish parents, they only knew from, well, you cheat the telephone company terribly, but do it anyway. Anyway, he answered the phone, and he said, Mom, I want you to think about this. You had a good time, you had a good trip back, so forth, and she said yes. And he said, what would you think about coming to live in Pittsburgh? Well, I was on the other phone. I can't tell you what her reaction was. I know that instantly, that's the first thing. I don't even think she would thought about it for a week. I think she just knew. So we did wait a couple of weeks so that she could get, I could line up places. And I said, you just come, and I will take you around. And we found North Neville, 552 North Neville, which is the Neville House. And that wasn't a condo then. And she loved every minute of the 8